In early March, Daily Maverick reported on former Transnet and Eskom boss Brian Molefe and his ties to Pelkacap, a company that seemed to operate as a slush fund during the height of state capture. My name is Pieter de Meyburg, and I'm an investigative journalist at Daily Maverick. Our first Pelkacap report revealed how Molefe benefited financially from millions of rands in unexplained funds that flowed into the entity's bank account. But that was just one half of the Pelkacap story. This chapter in our Pelkacap series takes a closer look at the millions of rands in unexplained cash deposits that flowed into the alleged slush fund's bank account during the years that Molefe ran Transnet and then Eskom. Did Molefe or someone close to him make all those questionable deposits? And did the cash perhaps come from the Guptas, South Africa's most notorious state capture villains? Between November 2013 and July 2018, Pelkacap received cash deposits in its FNB bank account totaling 11.3 million rand. This represented 93% of the company's earnings, underscoring the fact that Pelkacap, by all indications, had been set up as a vehicle for receiving cash deposits. The 11.3 million rand flowed into the account in a near ceaseless stream. 706 individual cash deposits, to be exact, kept Pelkacap in the black, while the cash deposits' values typically ranged between 5,000 and 10,000 rand. The deposits were often made in a series of five or more individual transactions, adding up to total deposits that frequently exceeded 200,000 rand on a single day. But it is not the values of the deposits, but rather the geographical specifics that offer the most interesting clues. The cash deposits were made at 35 identified FNB ATM locations. There were also deposits totaling nearly 342,000 rand made at unidentified locations. The known ATM locations revealed a clear preference for machines in Gauteng. 9.5 million rand, or 84% of all cash deposits, found its way into Pelkacap's account through deposits in this province. My suspicions were first roused when I compared the Pelkacap data to witness testimony delivered at former Chief Justice Raymond Zondo's Commission of Inquiry into State Capture. Witness 1, a former Transnet driver and bodyguard, shared interesting details on Molefe's meetings with the Guptas. Crucially, the witness spilled the beans on Molefe's habit of taking backpacks and bags to the Gupta residence. After one such meeting, the driver discovered that Molefe's bag had been stuffed with 200 rand notes. This is where things get really interesting, especially when taking the Pelkacap account into consideration. According to Molefe's former driver, the then Transnet boss frequently asked him to deposit cash at various banks' ATMs in or near the Carlton Centre, Transnet's corporate headquarters in downtown Johannesburg. The bank records in my possession, meanwhile, showed that in January 2014, someone had made two cash deposits totaling 10,000 rand into Pelkacap's FNB account. The depositor used an FNB ATM inside the Carlton Centre. It is not within our power to identify the depositor, nor can we confirm where those funds had come from. However, it seems noteworthy that the transactions coincided with Molefe's time at Transnet. The driver's testimony regarding the Gupta visits and the deposits at the Carlton Centre renders the Pelkacap transactions all the more curious. On closer inspection, the data revealed a curious correlation between some of the ATM locations and properties Molefe owned at the time. The FNB at the Irene Village Mall in Centurion is a notable case in point. Of the 35 known ATM locations, this one received by far the largest individual chunk of Pelkacap's cash earnings. Between December 2013 and April 2018, someone used ATMs at the Irene Village Mall's FNB to deposit 3.4 million rand into the Pelkacap account. Roughly 31% of the company's cash earnings entered the account at this location. As it happens, Prime Molefe's principal residence in Gauteng was literally just up the road from Irene Village Mall. It would have taken him less than 5 minutes to make the 2.4 kilometer journey from his home in the Cornwall Hill country estate to the FNB at this shopping center. Other FNB ATMs near Molefe's residence in the estate were also used to bank substantial portions of Pelkacap's cash deposits. The relatively close proximity between these ATM locations and Molefe's Centurion residence could strengthen suspicions that Molefe, or someone close to him, handled the unexplained cash. Molefe also owned properties outside Gauteng, and it was interesting to note that someone had also deposited cash at FNBs located near those residences. For instance, Molefe owned a house in the Port Tafriek residential estate just outside the town of Hartbeespoort in Northwest. Between December 2014 and April 2017, someone used ATMs at the FNB in Hartbeespoort to make 46 cash deposits into the Pelkacap account, totaling nearly 900,000 rand. Meanwhile, cash deposits to Pelkacap totaling roughly 150,000 rand were made at FNB ATMs in Mokgopong in Limpopo and in Plettenberg Bay. Molefe happened to own houses near those FNB locations. Molefe's move from Transnet to Eskom, meanwhile, brought about an interesting shift in terms of Belcacap's cash earnings. On 17 April 2015, then Public Enterprises Minister Lynn Brown announced that Molefe had been seconded to Eskom with immediate effect. Brown highlighted Molefe's extensive understanding of the public sector, but the move would usher in some of the most nefarious and costly Gupta-linked scandals. Adding the Belcacap data to the timeline provides some very interesting food for thought. Before Molefe's move to Eskom, the FNB in Woodmead, Johannesburg, was hardly ever used for Belcacap's cash deposits. In fact, in the 17-month period between November 2013 and March 2015, this location received only two deposits, worth 15,400 rand. But 4 days after Brown announced Molefe's appointment as Eskom CEO, cash started streaming into Belcacap's account by means of deposits at the Woodmead FNB. What makes this location so interesting is the fact that it is located just 2.6 kilometers from Megawatt Park, Eskom's headquarters in Sunning Hill, Johannesburg. This is where Molefe would have clocked in for work from 17 April 2015. Four deposits at this branch in April 2015 alone totaled nearly 47,000 rand, more than triple the figure for the preceding 17 months. The branch would become one of the most frequently used FNB locations for Belcacap deposits during the time Molefe served as Eskom CEO. In all, Belcacap received roughly 426,000 rand through cash deposits at the FNB in Woodmead. 96% of those funds entered the account only after Molefe's move to Eskom. Another curious thing occurred when Molefe left the power utility. In November 2016, following the grim findings against him in Advocatuti Maroncello's State of Capture report, Molefe announced that he would be stepping down as Eskom CEO. On 1 November 2016, meanwhile, someone paid 20,000 rand into the Belcacap account at FNB's Woodmead branch. It would be the final such payment the company received at this location. Belcacap's account records, which run all the way to October 2018, confirmed that not a single cash deposit was made at the Woodmead branch after Molefe's November 2016 exit from Eskom. While Molefe served as Eskom CEO, someone made Belcacap deposits at two other FNB branches located relatively close to Megawatt Park. A total of nearly 300,000 rand was deposited at the Melrose Arch branch, which is only a 15-minute drive from Eskom's headquarters. The payments were made between October 2015 and September 2016. Between March and June 2016, someone deposited 76,200 rand into Belcacap's account at FNB's Broadacres branch, situated less than 13 kilometers from Megawatt Park. Again, and rather curiously, deposits at the aforementioned two locations ceased after Molefe resigned from Eskom. For the final part of my investigation, I focused on select data from Advocatuti Maroncello's State of Capture report and then compared it to Belcacap's financial records. Maroncello's report revealed that Molefe's phone had been pinged in Saxonwold, the Gupta's former neighbour in Johannesburg, on multiple occasions. The report also revealed that Molefe had frequent telephonic contact with Atul and Rajesh Gupta, as well as with Nazim Hawa, one of the Gupta's close associates. Molefe's Saxonwold visits and the Gupta phone calls occurred between August 2015 and March 2016. In all, there were 13 Gupta contact dates mentioned in Advocate Maroncello's report. Those were the dates on which Molefe either had one or several phone calls with the Guptas or their associate, or when his phone was pinged in Saxonwold. On 8 out of the 13 such dates, Belcacap received cash deposits either on the day Molefe had contact with the Guptas or on the day thereafter. So, what have we learned about the alleged slush fund called Belcacap? 1. Brian Molefe most certainly enjoyed financial benefits from the entity's funds. 2. The company's bank account received significant unexplained cash deposits during the very time in which Molefe was said to have had suspicious encounters with the Gupta family. 3. Most of the unexplained funds were deposited into the Belcacap account at locations near Molefe's properties and near his place of work. We can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt that Belcacap's cash revenues came from the Guptas, but the circumstantial evidence certainly gives us reason to pause. Let's hope the relevant law enforcement bodies take note of Daily Maverick's Belcacap investigations. Follow Daily Maverick for more investigations into state capture and related matters.